We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It should be on the air.
Yep. Go right about now.
Where are we?
Take it.
We are on the air. We're waiting for the music.
We had everything except the music. What?
Yeah, we were waiting for the music as a little signal, but we didn't have it. Hi there, everyone.
Everyone is here, and we are ready to go.
Are you doing your something voice of Tom Fitzmaurice, or...?
No.
Oh, okay. the bewildered voice of Tom Fitzmaurice.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be
confused.
I'm bewildered too because I'm looking behind you.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to see the ship that's there every Thursday that sails out every Thursday afternoon. Hmm. It's not there, so we're totally discombobulated here. And if you think that's bad, just wait till we get started. So, Tom, you said you had something. So what did you have?
No, there was just a thought that I had when I was on my way over here.
Uh-huh.
And it was this. You and I were watching a movie last night that mm-hmm. involved these two lovers, or attempting to be lovers anyhow, who were having a wonderful time in, what's the name
Bruges.
Of that? Bruges.
Nope. Bruges.
Bruges, which is a place we went on our honeymoon. And it was a lovely thing there, and it was a lovely thing this time around. And this is in Belgium, by the way, in case you're wondering, and if you think that Belgium is a very exotic, where in the world could that be kind of a place?
You didn't have very much geography when you were growing up.
That's true, but you can easily get it. And it's one of those things you could pick up pretty quickly. But here's what came out of my brain or went into it when I was considering this. In addition to the guy in the romantic event, and also the girl who was in the same, the same thing going down, the romance. In addition to both of them, there was also what I think was like the prince and the princess of Belgium.
it's a Hallmark movie. They love their princes.
Yeah. And I was thinking, that's quite a layout that they have there. The food just looked fantastic. Of course, that's the whole idea of it, is to have this beautiful food out there. But the food itself is, I'm always looking at this stuff. I might be the only one. But it never seems to impress me much. And I wonder, gee whiz, if I were putting on something like this and my daughter were a princess and I were a prince, and the king was around and all of that, too. I think I'd have better food than what I'm seeing here.
If your daughter was a princess, you would be the king. You know, it's funny that you say that, Tom.
Why is it?
Because coincidentally, it was this movie, and I can't remember what the name of it was. It was a long time ago, and it was this guy at a party, and everybody that he talked to, every conversation he had sort of tied together, and it just kind of kept going back. It might have been The Muse. I love that movie. But anyway, this kind of all fits into what we're going to talk about today, which is really, really fun.
Oh, well, I can't wait.
Today,
and don't ask me, folks, because she never tells me anything until we get in there. So
yeah. In that neck of the woods, I don't use Google as a search engine, but I do use Bing, and I always love to look at their pictures. So this morning, the picture was in it's a little village in Scandinavia. And you know how they have their villages that are scattered among thousands of islands up there? So this one was apparently on the third Thursday in August, there is a special day where they break out. Ron, is the caller on? The caller's not on the phone. Okay. They break out this canned herring, okay?
I've had that.
That was caught months before. Mm-hmm. This is like a big special day there, okay?
Huge,
yeah.
Huge thing.
So they catch this herring in the Baltic Sea. And it's in
cold
May,
out there.
In May or June, they catch the herring. And then they salt it, and they salt it just enough so it doesn't rot, okay? And
boy.
Then after it's festered for all these months, they then, in July, can it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ferments some more in the can. And then on the third Thursday in August, it's called, and I'm going to have to get our guests to pronounce it. I think it's Surströmming Day.
Surströmming, right. He's the guy who ran the deli.
Yeah.
Surströmming, right.
Yeah. And they open this, they open the cans, and then they eat it with a slice of flatbread and some cold potatoes.
Dill.
And then they chase it down with something called Snap, which is a local alcohol. And this
what color is it?
I have no idea, but we're going to ask our guest. Our guest is, if he calls, I mean, I talked to his mom today. There's a young man, a little bit older than Jude, who is a Jesuit grad and lives in Copenhagen, where he is a doctorate of, I want to say, political science. Anyway, he's got a podcast, and anyway, he's living over there, and he's been living in Scandinavia for a long time, and I figured that it would be fun to get him on to talk about this Sour Herring Day. So if he calls us, we'll have a little bit of fun with that.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that.
Sour Herring Day.
Cold water fish can be really, really great. They can also be really, really bland, but...
Okay.
But generally speaking, they're nice.
Yeah, well, there are some people who think this is the most putrid smell in the universe when these cans are open, and there are other people
who anxiously await
this day so they can eat this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have a guest that's dropping in the studio she's my new BFF. I met her having lunch at Cuvant a few minutes ago.
Oh, and
yes, this
you're
is funny
already
Tom.
Reminiscing over
this
that?
This is funny, Tom. You're going to enjoy this story.
Yeah.
Your ego will really enjoy this story.
My ego?
Yes.
What ego?
Your
me? Ego? I don't think so.
You're constantly in need of stroking. Ego.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Will really enjoy the stroke it's about to get.
You must be thinking about Tommy.
Anyway, I'm sitting at Cuvant, which is completely dead except for maybe two or three other people.
Well, hotel in the middle of the day, you know.
I think it's a beautiful hotel. It's got a stunning courtyard back there, and it's a really nice place. So they have this prefix lunch for $19, and I ran over there just to try it because it's a good deal. And I ordered... I'm sorry. Is it me? I don't understand cold peas in a little creamy vinaigrette as a course.
Well, you have to eat it first, and then you'll understand.
No, I still don't understand it. Cold peas as a course. This is a millennial thing. English peas and radishes are big millennial things. Anyway, so I ordered that just for yucks because I wanted to see what this English peas thing was. So I ordered that, and then I got a chicken paillard, which I got to say was pretty scrumptious. Anyway.
Yeah. A paillard, for those who might not know, is it's a some kind of protein, anything from fish to chicken or whatever, and it's pounded very thin, or it's sliced very thin, one or the other. You can have either or both.
This was so rich. It was in some kind of really rich sauce, and it had a little light vinaigrette on it. It was delicious. I really enjoyed it. It was not a big, for $19, what can you expect? It was a nice amount of food, and then I got this little shortbread cookie that was dipped in chocolate halfway, and that chocolate was mind-blowing. I want Mary Lee to try it. So anyway, there's a woman sitting about, I don't know, eight tables down on this banquette.
These are real people, not something out of the movie, right?
OK, Okay, forget just, the movie, Tom.
No, I'm just making
forget
sure.
Forget the movie. You know. Okay, so about 8 places down on the banquette, this woman is talking to the bartender, and she's about my age, and she is asking for places that clearly indicate that she's been reading about things, and she's got a house here, a place in the Warehouse District. She's from Tupelo, Mississippi, and she starts asking about the Peter and Paul Hotel, which is like millennial ground zero. And so I'm here eating my English peas, and I'm thinking about this whole millennial thing, and she talks about the Peter and Paul. And so the question she had for the bartender was, does Bacchanal run the food at Peter and Paul? And the answer to that is yes, but the bartender did not know the answer to that. So I overheard her talking, and I said to the waiter, when you go down to that inn, would you tell that woman that the answer to her question is yes? So she looks my way, and she starts talking to me, and we strike up a conversation about the Marigny, and she talks about all the people that she recommends coming here, and the Peter and Paul, and, you know, just we get into the conversation. And then she starts talking about the fact that she met her now deceased significant other, who told her that he had a place in New Orleans, and that if she wanted to be with him, she had to fall in love with New Orleans. And so they started talking about it, and she goes, and then she says to me, and I swear I'm not making this up, she goes, have you ever heard of Tom Fitzmaurice?
That is a good joke.
And I said, yeah, that's my husband. And she goes, what? She goes, oh, my gosh. Are you one of the Marys? Are you Marianne?
Oh, come on.
You're pulling my chain. I'm not making any of this up, okay? That's why I said it was going to stroke your ego. And I said, yeah, I'm the older one. And she said, oh, my gosh. My husband would have been so, oh, wow. He's like your husband's biggest fan. Anyway, she comes here and eats at all the places that we recommend on nomenu.com. I swear I'm not making any of this up, okay?
I'm not making a single thing
of this up.
Yeah.
And she read about Bonchi yesterday. So
You keep dropping that
it's
word on me, and I have
place.
No idea.
It's the new Roman pizza place. Yeah.
It's here?
Yeah, so she went there today. It's in Rome.
In Rome.
They have 2 places in Chicago. This is the 3rd USA outpost.
Oh, okay. So there is one in this country.
We just stopped there the other day. Tom, that's where I went to go take the picture.
Okay.
Well, So then she went there today because she had read about it on nomenu.com. And so I just was cracking up at all this. And we started talking about her travels because they had just gotten back from, he just passed away. Hmm. And they had this massive trip that they took. And we just were, you know, talking like that. So I said, look, you know, we're just hanging out.
Do you think they've ever been on the Orient Express?
We'll get into that because I invited, her up here. Mm-hmm. At 4 o'clock, because she was just hanging out in the afternoon. I said, look, come on up. You can meet Tom and we can talk about your travels and about New Orleans food. And so she's from Tupelo, Mississippi, and she's just going to come in and shoot the breeze with us.
Hmm.
So it's a weird show, but it's funny because they're all tied together because Couvent is French, and we were talking about Belgium and, you know, the Danish world up there. So all this Northern European stuff has now converged on the show, just like in that movie where every person that the guy talked to was somehow related to the other person. So that's our weird little show today. And the show's weird every day, so what difference does
it
make?
Well, yeah, but some days better than others.
I think it's going to be a really weird one today, folks.
This is the food show. You know, I want to ask you about this. The name of the hotel is what?
The one I just went to? Eliza Jane. It's
Eliza
a Hyatt
Jane,
property.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Eliza Jane, this is over on Chapatula Street.
It's right there on Magazine, across from the Chop House and next to the Bon Ton.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous redo of a building.
All right.
And there's a restaurant
the main
in it
part
Couvent.
Of and what's how do you say that one?
Couvent.
Couvent.
No, Couvent. It's a French bistro.
Uh-huh.
And for breakfast, Couvent. Yes. Have you been there, Ron? Yeah, it's close. You could
walk
there.
It's just like a block and a half from here.
Yeah, they have French pastries to take away in the morning, and you can.
Where do you take them? That's what I always wondered. You know, this is a takeout order. Okay, great. Where are you taking it?
Wherever you want, Tom.
I mean, this should be addressed, at, you know, by somebody.
Well, you can take it away anywhere. Like when we were.
Take it away. Far away.
When we were in France a couple of years ago, I picked up a French bread. I picked up a baguette at a store by the beach, and then I picked up some cheese at the next store, and I literally walked around the street with a baguette in one hand and the hunk of cheese in the other hand eating it. So you can take away and go nowhere, actually. You know, anyway. Mm-hmm. Or you could take away and go to your living room and just be sad and sit and have Chinese takeout. Steve is here already, Steve.
Steve is our number one.
Find out if you. I wonder to find out if you checked on the Snickers.
On the Snickers. No, but has anyone looked in on the Snickers?
Wait, what was I supposed to do with the Snickers? I'm sorry.
They change the word on it every time.
Marianne, I can give you this assignment. Just go downstairs to the little guy who's got the little.
I'm not going downstairs. My shoe's going to break.
Well,
again.
Then I'll do it.
I've got these.
Go get four Snickers, Tom.
All right.
Do you think we'll even miss them? I don't think we will. No, go ahead.
You know what?
One for Ron, one for you, one for Marianne, and
one
in memorial for me.
Okay.
I'll go up there and leave it up in the studio, and someday when I come over there, I'll get it.
We don't need to. I'm telling you, it's the first time you try it. It's going to be there. And, in fact, I'll bet you that's true even of the...
Okay, I'm going to look into it. I promise.
All right.
So, Steve, based on what I've just said, do you feel like the show is going to be more ridiculous than it usually is?
Yeah. All right, so here's the deal.
Maybe to a good extent.
I don't know. We'll see.
Here's the deal. Marianne,
yes,
my
sir.
Wife, she's going to stay here. She will
yes,
take over the show for
I
the...
Will.
But she has to understand that when I
perfect.
Get back here, I want my show back.
Okay.
All right? And then second,
also
over here we have Steve, to whom I made this. That did come from me.
Are you
me,
really going down to get the Snickers?
Yeah,
Tom's
yeah,
really going uh-huh. down to get the Snickers.
And,
all right, go get the Snickers. Tom.
Snickers. Every time I pick up a Snickers bar, which is almost never because I don't like them.
Okay.
And then the guy sitting next to me yesterday in our studio. He said, well, more proof that he's crazy. So, all right, I don't know. I'm going to show you that although it is clearly the same kind of candy bar.
Okay, just shut up and go get the Snickers.
Everyone has a different name. Okay. And I will I'll do it at random.
He's going to do it right now, but you need to take your headsets off first.
Start saying something interesting.
No, I'm good. Well, that just comes naturally for me, Tom. 260-636.
I'm in the middle of a family fight. I love it.
260-6368. All right, Steve, are you going to hang on for this? Because we're going to take a break. I would say we are back, but it's only me. And I want to tell you quickly before Tom gets back about New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood has 10 locations around town, and it's aptly named. They have hamburgers. Those hamburgers are great. They are crusty on the outside. They are juicy on the inside, done however you like, from a pretty extensive burger menu. They have seafood. It is greaseless, golden brown. It is hot and delicious. And you can spice it up by saying, I'd like it spice-alicious. Also, they have, and this is a new thing, char-grilled oysters. They have good specials that are local favorites, things like red beans and rice. They have some good pasta dishes. They have great salads, big, crisp salads that are interesting and full of delicious things. That is New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, 10 locations around town. Drop in and see them. Steve, are you still there?
I'm waiting.
You're still here.
Man, while I was on hold.
Like to wait for Tom. You might be waiting a long time.
I might not make it, but while I was on hold, I won $325 on Dialing for Dollars.
You're not serious, right? Is there such a thing?
No.
Okay,
no,
I don't know.
That was a long time ago when you and I were both young.
Yes, it was way long time ago because you know I'm very young. Anyway, 260-6368, Steve and I are just sitting here waiting for Tom to get back. He has been charged with getting Snickers bars in the studio so that Steve can explain how they change whatever it is.
No, that was his idea. It wasn't mine.
What, to go get him
crazy.
Or to go see?
No, no, I talked him into going to see, but I think he's crazy on whether they change the name on him every time.
Oh.
I don't believe that. That was what he said.
Oh, well, then I know it's not true.
I don't think that's true. I think
I wouldn't let him go make that trip because I know that's not true. Anyway,
well, but this ought to be fun. He'll have a good time going down there and getting it, and you get a Snickers out of the deal,
anywhere.
You know?
I can just stay here with my broken shoe. I don't have to go anywhere. Anyway, we are anxiously awaiting the call. What?
New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood shut down by my house. I'm really not happy with them.
Oh, you're talking about there's that Cucina Congemi place. Tom, that is the fastest I've ever seen you move. Tom is back already.
Amazing.
It seems.
Yeah, so what
and
is it, Tom?
I'm sorry to say, for my own sake, that this batch, they only had about six
Don't
of them
worry,
left.
We all already knew the answer, Tom.
But
it's
I,
only you that's catching up. Go
but
ahead.
I actually have done this in the past. But who wants a Snickers?
Me.
No, Ron
okay.
wants a Snickers. Ron, do you like
I want
Snickers?
One.
Okay, Ron's going to take the Snickers.
Ron's going to get a Snickers. We also
All
have...
All right, Steve, if you feel like coming into the studio, we'll leave one with Tina for
we
you.
Have one,
okay.
We have one oddball
All right,
here.
Thanks a bunch, man.
Here's a Snickers almond.
Oh,
well,
I love
that's a different
almonds.
Candy bar.
So, okay,
wait, all right, I
lose.
Okay, it was
you
fun.
Be used to saying that by now, Tom. So now Snickers does almonds instead of peanuts? Oh, that's the fastest I've seen Ron move, too.
Sorry.
The Snickers have motivated everyone.
Ron, I didn't Goodness. Mean to just hit you in the head with that, but I'm not a very good thrower.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Ron, do you want the almond one, too?
You want the almond one?
Give that one to Ron. Do you like almonds? Yeah.
Woo, boink.
What is it? We think this is a Mardi Gras parade, Tom?
You're as bad as me.
Things. Okay.
Huh?
All right, Steve is gone. He's right, now proven his point.
All right, this is enough. This is our limit on the foolishness for today, at least for the next few minutes.
Because we're just getting started. Because when Michael Bassetta calls us and wants to talk about rancid herring, we're going to be talking about that, too.
Who?
Michael Bassetta. I was hoping he would call because while you were gone, because I figured you're not going to be able to say things like Surströmming or Surströmmingskiva, which is the day that it's called. Surströmmingskiva.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sour Herring Day in Scandinavia, the third Thursday of August, just so you all know. Thank God I'm not in Scandinavia. What I want to know from Michael Bassetta, if he calls, is that he is from New Orleans. So how can he survive?
That's a New Orleans kind of sound to me. But
how can he survive in a place where they serve rancid herring and make a big deal out of it?
There's always something different.
I mean, he does come in a lot, but wow, that seems kind of depressing, I would think. Anyway, the lady that I met at Couvent was talking about how her husband...
For those who are just joining us, Couvent is a restaurant...
a lovely little French bistro in the Eliza Jane Hotel.
In a hotel.
Far from here.
In a charming little hotel.
Yes.
Right on Magazine Street, about a half a block from Poitras.
Yes, correct.
And interesting place. We've only been there once, though.
There was a lunch special. So I did the prefix lunch special, which has three options.
Yeah.
And I think I could have gotten... Somebody was looking for a cold soup last week. Vichyssoise.
Vichyssoise.
They have Vichyssoise there.
Vichyssoise there.
And then they have this English peas nonsense. And then they have a third choice. And they also had a skate... Grenoble.
Right.
And a quiche that I wanted to try. So it's really good. For $19, that's a good deal. And they had a really nice waiter. He was really, really cute. Okay, so I think this might be Michael. Is this Michael? Okay, so this is our caller, Michael Bassetta. No. So Mike, another caller. So this is Mike. This is our regular Mike, one of our mics.
Hello.
Come on in.
Okay,
have a seat.
What I want to know is, why can we conjugate every person who calls here? We have a Mike and a Michael, a Steve and a Steven, a Greg and a Gregory. You guys need some
Seems
names.
Like Seems like the show's getting to be more like a Marx Brother movie all the time.
I was about to say something like that, but I think you got me beat. We are certainly in kind of a...
Well, my subject of the day is prime-grade beef.
Okay.
Prime-grade beef. We were talking about Sorta last night about that. So what motivated you to maybe have one last night and report on it today?
Well, it didn't actually happen last night. I'm going to tell you the bad news first. I've been hypercritical that what's being called prime beef nowadays doesn't seem to justify the grade. And I'm not talking about so much what I'm served in a restaurant. I'm talking about what's available to me in a supermarket or a meat market. Mm-hmm. And I had heard a while back that the government or whatever, the powers that be, had increased the amount of beef that was allowed to be considered prime grade from 2% to 6%. Hmm. And I've heard you say many, many times that you really don't shop by grade. You shop by what you see with your eyes as far as the marbling is concerned.
Absolutely.
And I find that a lot of the beef that is graded prime and being sold at prime prices simply doesn't have the marbling to justify it.
Yeah, I just had some of it yesterday. It was actually it wasn't too expensive. It was $30, which for steak is pretty cheap.
But All of that said, I'm walking around Acosta Pace today, and mm-hmm. I'm perusing the prime beef.
Yeah.
And what do I have in front of me but six T-bones that have enough marbling that that could be Kobe beef.
Mm, no kidding.
That's Acosta Pace for you.
At $15.99 a pound.
Wow, so that's you're stealing it at that price.
Yeah, I mean Costco sends me their advertisements for prime beef, and the Kobe usually runs between $100 and $120 a pound. I know that's unbelievable,
that's impressive.
What do you think of Acosta Pace? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I bought four out of the six, and if anybody wants the last two, they're still there.
Well, maybe somebody came behind you and bought them. Do you like Acosta Pace? It's a most interesting place, I think.
It's a great store,
yeah,
I think.
To me, I mean, my first attraction to the place was the wine part of mm-hmm. it. You know, I mean, it's just like a wine store within the confines of a grocery store.
Yeah.
But it gives me what I had on the South Shore when I used to go to Dornax. You know, it's the Dornax of the North Shore, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a good way of putting it. I think that's also kind of accurate. And I better shut my mouth because, as you probably have noticed, I do commercials
Have you been to their new place down in Mandeville, that which is just the spirits and wines, and of course their cigar humidor?
Yeah, I do. I buy a lot of wine. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm pretty much a fixture in the place in Mandeville. But the most interesting place he has now is the one in Slidell called the Slidell Wine Warehouse.
So you and like that one better?
No, it's just a different business model. He uh-huh. he's not catering to the high-end buyer there necessarily.
Uh-huh.
But he does have some very fine wine there at deeply discounted prices. So Adam's a smart guy, and he knows his markets before he goes into them. He knows what people are going to be looking for in any geographical area.
Yeah, which is not easy. We have not had him or his brother on our show in a long, long time.
I want them to start writing a blog for MyMenu.com.
I think you ought to.
Their father is, from the Schwegman family, right?
I did not know that. No.
Yes, his wife was a Schwegman. And really? So they have the grocery background there. And do you know Steve? I love Steve.
Who is Steve?
Steve is the dad.
The father?
Steve is the dad.
No, I know Eric and I know Adam, but I don't know the father.
They're both they know their stuff inside and out. I think that's the most interesting store I've ever been to. It caters to two completely different clientele, and they do it with aplomb. I really, really, really like them.
In case you're joining us, the female voice is that of Mary Ann. And she is talking about over there.
Acosta
Pace, which is a large and very good supermarket on the North Shore. There's a couple of them.
Yeah.
And with great wine cellars and great cheese collections, too, over there.
Eric is really, just he thought travels I'd, all over. They both travel all
just
over.
Just thought I'd put
just
it in.
You'd
so
reclaim the show? Okay, what were you going
to
say?
No, I just want to keep us on our, you know.
What were you going to say, Mike, about, you were starting to talk about
Adam. I was just going to say Eric is the cheese, what Adam is the wine. They're both very knowledgeable.
I know, they really are. And great guys, too. All right.
Hi, you are listening to The Food Show. It's a one of a kind. We've been on the air for 31 years, but we have been and having a lot of
descending into lunacy lately.
Huh? What?
Descending into lunacy lately.
Descending into lunacy, lady.
No, not lady.
No?
Lately.
Oh. Anyway, we talk about food, we talk about restaurants, about cooking and all of that. And we can get a little silly with this program, and that's okay. I think having fun is part of living. And we'd love to hear from you about anything on your mind, about the food that you've been eating, the dishes that you have enjoyed a lot, and also the dishes that you have to wash. How do you handle the washing of dishes in your house? The way I try to do it, although I fail at it a bunch of times, is as soon as I finish one utensil, I clean it right then and there, and I put it away, and that's that.
I am so glad to hear you say that, because...
Yeah? Why? There's somebody who knows all about such things and is going to tell us about it?
No, because if Job actually had appliances, my life would mirror his right now. I think this morning I have declared that the dishwasher is probably broken. So far this year, we've had the dishwasher broken. My air conditioner is broken in my car. We've had the air conditioner in the house broken. We've had the water pump broken. So now we can add the dishwasher. So now we're going to be washing dishes until I can make an actual diagnosis on this. And the dishwasher is going to become like a dish drain.
Oh,
so I'm glad to hear that you're washing dishes, because you can keep doing that.
It'll be okay. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm not worried about it.
It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice.
Happy Sir Strumming Skiva.
Is he still coming?
I don't know, but that's the way they say it. I don't know how they say it, but that's the way I'm saying it. It's Sour Herring Day in the Baltic Sweden area.
They eat
a
lot of hard to predict things. One of them is that they love crawfish around there, but they don't eat crawfish that's been cooked the way we cook it around here. Not even close to being spicy. It's kind of bland, actually. And then a lot of dill is used in its preparation. No matter what you put into it, that dill, for some reason, that's in a lot of Scandinavian cooking.
Yes, I'm anxiously awaiting the call from Michael Bassetta, who is probably too busy to talk to us.
Well, you know,
because
everybody's
it's,
busy.
What, party time over there? It's like 11 o'clock. So what time is it? It's 4. Yeah.
Oh, no, don't you have those little calculators that you can find out such things?
Yeah, we do, but my phone is charging. But if you give me yours, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to talk to us. I also met a woman at Cuvant who will be coming up, hopefully, because she's from Tupelo, Mississippi, and has a part-time place here, and was turned on to the charms of New Orleans by you, Tom.
Huh? Who told you
actually
that?
By her husband, who was a huge fan of yours, which I think is which I think is kind of funny. And I just had a good lunch at Cuvant, so that's all the reporting on food that I have to do today.
Well, getting back to that one, this is in a hotel, but it's a charming hotel. It's not an expensive hotel. It's not either.
I think it is actually an expensive hotel.
It's a
Hyatt property, and those
are
not cheap.
Pardon my
Hyatt is not cheap.
My
at
guess
all.
At that.
Yeah. Anyway, I wish I could make heads or tails of your almanac, because I really love your almanac when we can use it.
I thought it was pretty good, but it wasn't for everybody.
I can't really make heads or tails of it.
Well, you know, it's, anyway. Again, I tell you,
today
it's...
Today on NoMenu.com, though,
yeah.
There is a piece about the Impossible Burger.
To dream the Impossible Burger.
Well, I wouldn't
to
dream
know
about this.
What?
It would be sort of a nightmare, actually, based on what I saw. But a friend of mine who is really a burger fanatic, and he and I get into conversations all the time. As a matter of fact, I would like him to come up here and be sort of a regular on the show.
Who?
Eric is his name.
Oh.
And we go to lunch, but I love the way he talks about food.
Well, you know, food is a great thing
like
to talk about. You can really dig
food.
Into it. Yeah, your dad had these great little moments of wisdom. No,
did.
And I sound like I'm making
deadpan.
Fun of him. But yeah, he would.
That was pretty deadpan.
I mean, he told me once that if you want to make really good roast beef poor boys, the thing to know is to cut across the green, the
he had a really good roast beef poor boy.
Yeah, well,
did you ever have any of his roast beef poor boys?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I ate everything.
He was kind of a master at roast beef poor boys.
Yeah, but he had nailed it down and would be very tender and great flavor.
That and the good cabbage dish that my mom won her prize for. I know you love that, Tom. Anyway, so he had this saying, though, that you also loved, which was, Tom, it's just another meatball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought you were working up to that other... Well, never mind.
No, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but this
neither
other...
Neither do I.
One of these two guys that I have lunch with all the time
mm-hmm.
has a father, or had a father, who had sort of a similar saying to that. And
watch it.
And it was even,
watch it.
It was even
careful.
More, it was even more depressing than my dad's.
Mm.
And his was, quote, fills a hole.
I don't
These
even know.
These are not gourmets, Tom. These
no.
are not people that
Well,
no,
that's
gotten,
okay. You can be a gourmet. In fact, you look at most chefs, and they're not real fancy, gussied up to look over the whole world.
Well, they can be.
I'm sure they can be,
and
but they rarely do it because it's just not their bag, particularly. And so you wind up getting
so
a different style.
So they do their thing in the kitchen. Anyway, so my friend Eric sent me a piece, an email saying there is no way that you will ever run this in NoMenu.com, but here's what I think about the Impossible Burger. And I actually did run it yesterday. No, is it today? I think I ran it today. So if you want to know a little report on the Impossible Burger, now he eats at a lot of places that, you know, I wouldn't be caught dead eating, but he did try the Impossible Burger. And the report on it is in NoMenu.com today.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
we'll look at
someone
it.
Has actually gone down that road and braved the Impossible Burger. And somebody wrote me about it, or wrote you about it, about the piece on the Impossible Burger, because he was looking for vegan options in New Orleans. And I, whenever someone asks you about
it's
vegan,
so simple. There is this is the most
vegan options,
the easiest thing to get going. If you have a special diet for whatever reason, whether it's a health-related thing, whether it's that you like it very low fat, very low sodium, or, you know, all of these possible things that someone has to come up with, you just go to a restaurant and tell them what you want, and they'll say, sure, we can do that. It's no big deal for restaurants to do that. Restaurateurs, chefs, they know more than you think they do.
If you are a young person, and young is certainly in the
eye
of the beholder, you're only 95.
Yeah, and so?
Anyway, please explain to me the popularity of English peas as a course by itself.
It's just something that is left over from early...
Now.
Huh?
It's hot right now.
What, that dish?
Well, you see English peas in a place where you would be, like, if there's a person who would eat vegan food, then they would probably also like English peas as a course.
But there's not the, no, there's no difference between them.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying I've never gotten peas as a course.
Never. You ask for
it. Strange. Or radishes as a course. I mean, can you imagine radishes as a course?
They're hot right now.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. Whoever would have dreamed in a million years that radishes would stand alone as a course?
Well, strange things happen.
Do you like radishes?
I like them okay.
But I mean, you would never get them as a course.
Of course. You want, no pun intended.
I mean, I would say that my friend's father would say fills a hole about that because, and I wouldn't even eat radishes to fill a hole. But I guess when you put enough vinaigrette on them, you know, that works.
Yeah, to heck with them.
That works. If you put enough vinaigrette on anything, that would work.
This is the food show.
260-6368 is the number.
Our program is sponsored today by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Oh, we already did it? I thought we had two of them.
No, okay. We had two yesterday, which is odd. I guess we had a make good or something.
Could be.
Anyway, all right, so where else have we been?
Yeah, let's take a break and catch our breath, and we'll be back with more of the food show after first, if you will, this. No one has ever rotten, and okay. It's the food show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It's fun to be here with you. And all of the people who hang out with us, I wish we had a few more of them today. We've got plenty of time and would love to have you join us and tell us what you've been eating lately.
260-6368.
260-6368 is our number.
You know where I went yesterday on the way back? You know where I went yesterday on the way home from Pontchartrain Poor Boys?
Oh, yeah.
We had a great meal at Pontchartrain Poor Boys.
I did.
They have
better than
really
you
good
would imagine.
Mac and cheese in the style of Rocky and Carlos. I'm not sure. Maybe they're related to them. I have to ask them. But they're from Chalmette, and they're among the people who were thrown our way to the North Shore from the great diaspora.
Mm.
But anyway, it's that. It's that long tubular pasta.
Yeah, it's an unusual kind of pasta that you don't see.
What's it called again?
Let's see.
It's the kind you can blow like a whistle.
Right, and you can blow through it too, and it'll whistle.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. Anyway,
yeah, it'll come to me in a minute.
It's a gigantic vat that they have. Anyway, they have that same kind of pasta at Pontchartrain Poor Boys.
Yeah.
And every time I go there, I'm tempted to get it, but I don't get it because I almost never eat mac and cheese.
I'm neither tempted nor do I get it. But I'll tell you what I do like is that I think their roast beef poor boys are really good. And this morning, I had half the poor boy I had left over from yesterday. So I put it in the oven and let it bake on the outside to where it's crusty, crunchy on the outside. And then, of course, the roast beef, and then pickles. And I don't like a lot of gravy on it, but this had just the right amount. And ate that this morning at home, and it was just great. And I would recommend to you, if you make roast beef poor boys or order them just that way, open your eyes to finding ways that this thing could be done the way I just described it, where the outside is crusty and crunchy. It actually falls apart when you grip onto it.
What are your top five roast beef poor boys?
Oh, that's certainly one of them. And let's see, Johnny's in the French Quarter. And I always get this one wrong. Della Martina. That's on the North Shore. DeMartino's,
you know what? I think it was DeMartino's that went into that little space. Remember we were talking about Del Frisco starting on the West
Bank?
Yeah, that
little tiny place.
I think that space is now a DeMartino's.
Really? Well, that could be.
I think it is.
Because I hear that the two of them that are on the North Shore, they're not on the North Shore, on the West Bank, are much smaller than the ones that in other parts of that outfit.
Does the name
Perky?
Perkiatelli?
Perciatelle,
that's
one of
the name of it?
Yeah,
the one that you can blow through the tube.
You can blow through it or suck through it,
okay.
And you'll get a whistling.
Okay.
Bucatini is the same.
Oh, Bucatini, that's the one that you use.
That's
hear.
Two names for Bucatini. The same thing.
Yeah.
But this is something they do a lot in Italy, where you go in and you discover that there are like mustaccioli. This is a It's a mustache.
It's a pasta that's named after.
It's a pasta
that's named after mustache.
And it's kind of curly. And then you, I'm sure that at some time in your life, you've had that pasta that kind of comes to an angle when they slice penne pasta. Penne pasta and mustachola are exactly the same thing. There's nothing that separates them.
Why
unless
do they call it mustachola, then?
Because it looks like a mustache.
I don't think penne pasta looks like a mustache.
No, it doesn't. But if you cook it and put it on a plate,
I guess you could put any kind of pasta in a setup on a plate and make it look like
I mean, if you're accustomed to using pens like this. It has a kind of off kilter.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We will be back after the news. It is coming up on 4 o'clock. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM.
FM. HD2. More of it, the food show coming. Stay tuned for it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.